You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 221 of the Centralized Favorite Podcast. Jeremiah Morrill today, joined by co-host, producer, slash video producer, slash audio engineer, slash IT guy, Zach Burcham, has made it back to his third chair. Welcome to the studio, man.
Not too bad. And just a reminder, not one day of training on any of those jobs. I've been doing all of them extensively for about the last hour.
We believe in on the job training around here, and you have been you're the oldest person on the unpaid staff, and we trust you with the with all of the technology responsibilities.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing on any of it. I'm really good at, like, you don't ever have to tell me, did you try to restart it? Because that's my default. I'm smart enough to know, just try to restart it. So we've restarted many times.
I think we had a power outage in the studio over the course of the last week. And the laptop that we use to push some audio through to the broadcast, it's been rebooting for about the last hour.
Yeah.
The video laptop that helps bring everything on the air has been struggling as well. So we're here. If audio drops out at some point over the course of the video production,
then download it tomorrow.
Go listen to the podcast, because it'll be in there and it'll sound glorious. This show is about our lives in rural Indiana, here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you. Other times we'll make you laugh, but hopefully you'll always learn something new. Zach, we got some stuff to sell. We did a Patreon. Did you find it to be useful?
Yeah. I mean, it gave me a chance to figure out what worked and what didn't. So
I got to tell a story in there.
Yeah.
About my beautiful GMC truck, or GMC SUV that I got from our guy, John Phillips, the Andy Moore Buick GMC, one of our $50 or more a month patrons. I got to thank Christy Avery, Fort Wayne, Indiana, the awesome and incredible Christy. Anthony Meyer out there delivering hopes and dreams to everybody in this country. He's an independent contractor, so he doesn't have to get his shot like everybody else, it seems like. And Fiddler's Green, Chris Lamb, is also one of those high-end supporters of the show. We appreciate each and every one of you for your continued support of the Boss Hog of Liberty. If you need some merch, we've got a T-Chip store. Go to BossHoggerLiberty.com, click on the merch link in there. And there's a number of different T-shirts to show your support. There's a mug, there's a mask, because God knows you're going to have it. I think until January now, for flights.
Was that
the new extension from the.
I'll be honest, there's a lot of places I don't really understand it. A flight doesn't really bug me, because a flight, you don't talk about just sharing air. an airplane might be the one spot that you're. Yeah,
it's recycled and scrubbed though.
Yeah,
I don't know. It is what it is. I've continued to say for the last few months that throughout the entire process here, you have the choice. If you want to, if this is the life you want to live and you want to try to not do it, then fine, whatever. You've had, since what, April or so, everybody's had the opportunity to do whatever the hell they want to do. If you want to get the shot. You don't, whatever. But somebody poked the proverbial bear today. And President Biden had a big late breaking announcement at about 5:30. And 100 million people are going to be affected by an edict that he has come out with, saying that every federal worker has to be vaccinated. So he has the authority to do that as the chief executive of the executive branch. But he's trying to use OSHA rules to say that all companies that are under OSHA's purview, which I guess is 100 employees or more, so all big corporations are going to have to either test their folks weekly. And once again, this is all broken in the last hour or two since, and we've been in the studio for most of that, but test weekly or be vaccinated.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
So the reaction is going to be wild.
I'll give them credit. OSHA might be the most logical method of doing that because it is like a work safety thing. Is he overstepping? Probably. But you see, like, an example that is on later is like our local BMVs are being like ravaged by either the virus itself or quarantine measures. So I can understand that that's like somebody's thought, well, we'll just do it through OSHA because it's a workplace safety issue. And I kind of understand that.
It's a very, very.
I mean, that's the slide. I'll give him credit for of all the overbearing government agencies he could probably do. And I'm not actually a big hater on OSHA because we have a couple of local employers that should probably pay more attention to what they ask for. But I'll give him points for, like, it's kind of like I'll give him credit the same way like Obama did not have like a penalty for not having insurance. It was like a tax, and that got him around the Supreme Court. Like, I'll give him credit for that. He picked the right agency to do it probably, but good luck.
The next part will be, all right, if you have to have weekly tests, who's going to pay for it? Because the next segment will be the government's going to say, well, you've had the vaccine available for free, so we're not going to pay for your weekly tests. And the company's going to say, we're sure as hell not going to pay for your tests. And the insurance company's going to say, if you've got the choice, we're not going to pay for your testing anymore. Yeah. If you're on mandated weekly testing.
Some employers were charging their employees like $200 a month to not be vaccinated. And so I have a hunch they'll just be like, well, you're going to pay for it. Pass on the employee, I guess.
The quote, I believe, from the president was, we're going to make it very uncomfortable for you to not be vaccinated in this country.
Yeah, he could do without that quote. Like, that just, yeah.
It just feeds the flames, right? There, yeah. This is what I come back down to, is that there's a difference between a good idea and a terrible law, a terrible policy.
Yeah, yeah, being vaccinated, good idea. Forcing it down people's throats that are just looking for things to question the government and think that it's all... Yeah, when you're like holding somebody down, basically sticking a needle in their arm, that does not come off well.
We had this conversation, Spangle and I. By the way, happy birthday to dear leader Chris Spangle. He's joined me at the ranks of being 38 years old, or just 10 years behind Zach, according to former producer Chris Staten.
Who?
I forget. I forgot what he looks like, honestly.
Yeah.
I was going to do a fantasy football draft with him last week, but then something happened. I don't know. He had to straighten his stereo wires or wash his car in the rain or something. I don't know. But so he disappeared on me again.
Yeah.
So it happens. I lost my train of thought. You were talking to Spangle about it. Oh, yeah. Spangles. Yeah. So I was talking to Spangle about it, and I've compared this to polio, and there was so much investment from people with their kids getting sick for 10 or 15 years before the polio vaccine was available in the early 50s that individuals were invested in finding a vaccine and finding a cure, to the point where moms were raising. The March of Dimes happened where they were literally saying, hey, mail us whatever coins you have and we're going to put it toward vaccine research.
Yeah.
So we kind of short-circuited, because of the Operation Warp Speed deal, we short-circuited the public investment in a vaccine, and we were just worried about masks and social distancing, and we weren't really talking about the vaccine. It was being handled by somebody else, and it wasn't our responsibility.
Yeah.
So I think we lost some personal investment in the vaccine working and being available and educating ourselves, to the point where it wasn't the entire country was excited and ready for it. It was, well, this is new and different, and it's being warp speed fast, and we're not sure about it.
Yeah, it was one of those things where you don't know. They were so quick on shutting things down, and you went the 2 weeks to flatten the curves and all this. They were so aggressive on it that we'll never know. We never actually like hit the rough spot, like really hit a rough spot to convince people. You never know. Like, you know, a lot of people say they make up whatever statistics on how many lives were saved through this or that, but you'll never know, because when you do something preemptively, you don't actually know if it was effective or not, because you don't know what would have happened. You don't have a control sample for a population where they did nothing. And so, yeah, some people aren't going to like it. And some people just aren't going to like it no matter what. So
the latest accounting that I've seen is that there's 80 million Americans that are eligible for a vaccine that have not taken it yet. So that's the number that's left.
That seems like
a country of 350 million people. There's 80 million left. That's the
25%.
That's the issue. And herd immunity is supposed to be somewhere in the 90% range, allegedly. But if you can't give it to people under the age of 12, then you're not going to get your herd immunity until you have damn near every adult.
Yeah.
Right. Somewhere in that range. Sometimes you just get to watch the train derailment and we all have popcorn for it. So this is Vermont heavy news. I don't know how it happened.
I don't know how you found this story.
This is unbelievable. But the first portion of a Vermont news.
Small state, big news.
They are dominating the Boss Hog news cycle. The Washington Post actually ran a story, and it was national news today, that three Vermont state troopers, which is, by the way, I believe the super trooper state. Like, you know, this is like half their force of the state troopers. if the movie is any example, three of them were caught faking vaccine cards.
That's. Yeah.
Team Ramrod was caught faking vaccine cards. And it happened a while ago, I guess, but there was an internal investigation. So they just finally got to release it. And this Washington Post story shows.
I think we're getting
we are getting spammed in the chat by somebody trying to sell NFL.com. This is great. Keep the comments rolling in, folks. This is good for reach. Perfect. Beautiful. There's like five back.
Oh,
back
just all of a sudden. Yeah. Like my screen started
on Shilbert Ramen.
Yeah.
Where did he come from? Hilarious. That's awesome. Great. Perfect. Just what I was hoping for. Back to the Vermont news. So the story in the Washington Post that if you are a patron, you got the link dropped in the super secret Facebook group that you get as a Patreon member. This went on to say that get this story right here, that these folks are violating more federal laws. There's more jackbooted thuggery from the federal government at play here.
Well, somebody was making them and then they were. Distributing them as well.
It's saying that if you are caught basically manufacturing any fake ones, selling them, doing any of this, you know, that it's an official government form and you can have 5 years in prison. So there is a 31-year-old lady that called herself like anti-vax mom. I'm trying to pull up the I'm trying to get the hamster on the laptop to spin up here so that I can get a copy of the screenshot. I'm going to do it through a different medium here so that I can accurately quote this. This is another failure on my part today because we didn't make an individual chat, and then with the IT problems, it got even more fun. This story says that arrests have been made in recent months of homeopathic doctors, bar owners, pharmacists, and others accused of selling fake cards. The Manhattan District Attorney announced last week that a person behind the anti-vax mama Instagram account, a lady named Jasmine Clifford, 31, of Lyndhurst, New Jersey, has been charged with selling hundreds of fake vaccination cards. Clifford advertised fake cards on social media for $200 each, which included real serial numbers and available to be mailed to any state, some of which allegedly went to frontline workers. I don't know why the hell you'd spend $200 on those.
Yeah.
Because the cards are available. Like, everybody's seen the cards. Yeah, a shit ton of people just took pictures of their own stuff. You could just literally print a card on cardstock, write in the same stuff, and be fine. Yeah,
they're not. They didn't.
You could have faked it.
They didn't. Yeah, they didn't exactly like put like the U.S. Mint and press behind printing them out like on like the same thing as money, so that you can't replicate them. They're just
it's a cardstock with handwriting.
I would imagine if you like wandered in with somebody to get their shot, you could probably find a case of them somewhere. And like, there's probably a case of them in every CVS, Meijer, and walk-in clinic and doctor's office in the country.
Well, and most places take a photocopy now too, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could just print it all. It wouldn't be that hard to do any of this.
No. Yeah. $200. Yeah.
The only time I've had to show my vaccine card, it was a photocopy of it.
Yeah.
To get into the
Indianapolis. Because you don't want to carry your only one.
Right. Your original.
And you can't laminate them because
your long form vaccine certificate.
Because there's boosters coming too. So yeah, you can't laminate your original. So yeah, we have a couple of Xerox copies floating around for different. Because we're supposed to have been asked at St. Louis for one, but they never did. So, but we had them with us.
All right. You want some more Vermont news?
I don't. Vermont, the new Florida.
This is Vermont, man. All right. This is the one that blew me away. There's a story that went viral on TikTok this week, and it's a guy who, and I really wish that the laptop was working over there because I could have played the audio. But essentially what's happened is that this guy has people coming onto his property, and they're using bloodhounds, hounds, to chase bears, and they tree black bears, and then they come by and they try to shoot them. I'm like, well, that's random. So the state of Vermont apparently has a bear population that's gone since 1990 from 1,500 bears to 5,000 bears. And there's open season. We're in bear season now. It started September 1st. So we're 9 days into bear season in Vermont. There's only 5,000 bears in the state. And I think they live in a relatively isolated area. So they're all on top of each other. So this one property owner guy has had three different sets of dogs and hunters come onto his property and try to tree bears or try to get him to the point where he's like, I'm done. I'm over it. Get the hell out of here. No, get out. And these guys are obviously, if you're a hunter, you know the rules, yeah. You know the regulations of what yep. You're allowed to do. And in the state of Vermont, this is fascinating to me because you have a property rights versus a hunter's rights on a conversation issue going on here that I would have never thought existed. If you are in Vermont and you set your dogs out to chase, they have GPS collars, so the owners know exactly where the dogs are. You set your pack of hounds out and they chase a bear and it goes across from public land onto private land. They are still hunting, so they are allowed to go tree that bear, and the owner is allowed to follow and retrieve his dog and basically complete the hunt. So you could chase from, theoretically, you could go from Spiceland all the way up to Mount Summit chasing bears and then go shoot somebody, be on somebody's farm and shoot a bear.
Whether or not the person's like,
whether or not you're happy with it or not.
Yeah.
And that's the state law. Like it's, you can't even stop it or control it. It's insanity to me.
Like,
and I understand hunting, but I'm like,
yeah, part of it I get a bit. I remember I listened to a thing one time about in Scotland or England or somewhere, they had like right to roam kind of laws, which like discouraged people from putting up fences and just, man, if you want to go for a walk, just went for a walk in the countryside. You don't have to worry about whose property you're on. But like, I would be a little uncomfortable if just randomly there's just guys with guns and dogs showing up on your property and they're bringing bears. Like they're chasing bears to your, like, I don't know how it'd be interesting to see how big the guy's property is. If he's talking about, he's got like acreage and he's just annoyed, or if it's, he's got like a little bit of woods behind his house. He just keeps finding packs of, but yeah, that's just like, it is kind of strange. If the hunters are being responsible, then I just like, well, if this, the law was there before he bought a house that's in bear country, I kind of say, well, go on vacation. Airbnb your house out to a bear hunter or something. I don't know, but it just, I kind of like to know the context of like how long the law, I'm assuming the law has been in place for a while. That doesn't sound like something that's popped up in the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, I will say that the conservation efforts have led to the bears to be huntable again. So I don't think they used to hunt these things. They were protected. They were only 1,500. And now they're at a level where the conservation's worked, and now you can hunt the bears. And now we're probably back into 1800s. All right, here's the, we're going to try to play the audio here.
Just who I am and what I'm about. We got some hounds that are...
I'd ask you guys to leave the property right now.
Leave the property right now, please.
So he tries to throw the guy out.
All right, explain. Go for it, Bush. Because I know it's not an accident you're here either.
No, my dogs brought this bear from a cornfield here.
I actually don't want you guys on my property.
All right. So would it be sensible enough to say we can go in and get our dogs and get the hell out of there?
Go in and get your dogs. Can I come with you?
You can go with us. Not
all right. All right. You guys have permission to retrieve your dogs, but you know, no hunting, and then ask you never to return.
All right. If we release my dogs 6-7 miles from here, and they end up, and the bear runs this way, they're doing what they're taught to do.
I don't want somebody on my property hunting. So as a private property owner, shouldn't I have the ability to do that?
Yes and no.
How far away would you say they are right here?
They're trudging through his woods.
10 yards, maybe?
103 yards.
When
you have the tracker and you're a couple miles away from where you set loose your dogs, there's no, you're not actually in control of your animal.
According to state law, we are.
So you would say that it's really, to make an impact on that, you have to change the state law.
Definitely.
So then he finally goes ahead and they catch up to him and they let the bear go because he threw a fit.
There is a level I kind of agree. Well, one, the guy just sounds like the kind of guy who just doesn't like hunting at all. So he doesn't want anywhere near, and he probably shouldn't have bought a house in the woods. But if it's true though, the guy's like, yeah, I could turn my dogs loose 7 miles away from here and they come back here and he only knows where the dogs are because he has GPS trackers on the dogs. That seems like a stretch.
It's like flying a UAV to track.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like, yeah, I'll admit that does sound like a little bit of a stretch. Like if the guy's just like, I turn them loose, they end up where they end up. He's like, that's what they're trained to do. I'm like, I think they'd be trained to not get too far away from you too. Like, yeah, that is a bizarre. It's just that's talk about old world, new world, just crashing together in the most bizarre way possible.
You've got GPS technology. You've saved a species. And then you've got hunting methods that go back to like the 1600s, 1700s.
Yeah. And some guy driving a Subaru is not happy that they're coming onto his property. It's weird. That is weird.
And it's probably some dude that, because of COVID, is working from home now. And he moved from New York City out to this farm he found.
But he's like the Jesse Riddle of Vermont. And he's this IT guy in it from there. Jesse had not great suggestions on how to deal with it. Because I do respect the fact that the dogs are probably valuable and the guy doesn't want to lose the dogs. But yeah.
Mason Rottinghouse, the deer hunter, said that he believes that if a deer in Indiana runs across property lines and dies, then you have to get the property owner's permission to go retrieve the deer here. So
I think I recall having, I do not hunt. I don't have the stomach for it, but I ended up randomly visiting a guy that I know and he had shot deer. He had stopped back by his house, which is where we were. And he's like, oh, I got to go track it. And we did that. And he knew whose property started where,
right,
and at times was making calls to make sure it was okay to go into different areas while we tracked this deer early. So yeah. So people do work around that here where you don't just kind of go wherever you want to go.
It's a different conversation of like, it's a different level of like, yeah, squirrel hunting, completely harmless, deer hunting, whatever.
What are you hunting a bear with too?
I assume a shotgun. I mean, you've got him treed. So you're just trying to tree him. And then you pop them and drop them down because the bear goes up in a tree to get away because generally that's going to be a safe place and they're avoiding the dog. But then the hunter walks up and he's got a bear that's treed and he just shoots him and he drops out of the sky.
I'm assuming you're coming in with like a UTV or something like that because I'm assuming you're not carrying the bear out. It's just
a multi-purpose pack animal.
It's dog. Also just so disconnected from anything that could be happening in Indiana.
It's so yeah, it is.
There's a bear in a tree in my backyard.
But to me, it's fascinating of this conversation between the property rights of I own my property, you can't tell me what the hell to do, and then the right to hunt. And how do they resolve it? And it's not what you would logically think would be the case because you would think my property rights trump your ability to hunt. But then this guy's got – you can go wherever the hell you want to go.
Native Americans are laughing at us making a legal issue out of the whole thing. Like, yeah.
Who owns property?
That's why the land belongs to everybody. That's why I would just clear this all out. But
I guess. You know, talk about some BMVs. This is your story. I'm going to get a beer. I'm going to let you set
it up. Yeah, this is just one. Well, this is one that had popped up actually locally. Our BMV was closed on short notice for like, I think almost a week, like 4 or 5 days, a couple weekends ago. And it just said, hey. And then I think they had posted somewhere that they had sent their staff to other places to help other places out. So basically they were kind of doing like a rolling shutdown where we don't have enough staff. We're going to send our staff around, which in hindsight, given what's happening now was a horrible idea because they were taking their individual office staffs and just mingling and them.
Sending them to spreader locations.
The BMV, the super spreader agency. So now
we're going to take your disease, Winchester, and bring it back to Henry County.
Yeah. So now they have closed down 11 branches and they literally said you have to get on the website just to figure out what's open. And people, I saw a guy post, he had to go from Connersville up to Newcastle and Newcastle's was closed, you know, last week. So people, it's just like, depending on what day it is, where can you go and not go? And
Greenfield's closed, but Newcastle's open now.
And yeah. And so, I saw a story, and then it was super fun just about social media in general. Was it was a Channel 6, I think, it posted the story. All the comments were about the abysmal pay and how nobody wants to work. And there's always, and it turns out that has, I would say that has a little bit to do with it, but not, but it's because they have so many people out either with COVID or under COVID quarantine precautions.
They've got kids that are stuck at home, yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
They just don't have the staff. Now, might they have more staff?
I would imagine that if you look at the demographics of who works at the BMV, you've probably got a lot of moms with young kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when I've been in our, I can't think of the last time I went to our BMV and there was a male working. It's almost always female staff. And they've always been, I've had, you know, my issues with the BMV at times. They've never been bad. I think one time I got charged for plates I should have paid for. But other than that, they're pretty friendly. And I've gone in there after I've had state training. I know they had to do state training and I started joking about it. But somebody said they're opposed to like hiring, and they're hiring at like $13 to $14 an hour, which let's call that what it is now. That's fast food money for dealing with some kind of complex situations and dealing with people in general. And yeah, but yeah, and I feel bad for people that need to get stuff done, can't do it online. There's a lot of stuff you can't do online. I've had times where my plates couldn't be done for one reason or another, couldn't be done online. I go in there and I have to get help, but you have to figure out where you can go. And for some people, driving 35 or 40 minutes is not workable.
The BMV has been shutting down locations since about 2003.
Yeah.
Where there used to be, you know, in Henry County here, I know we had one in Knightstown. I know we have one in Newcastle. And I want to say maybe they had one in Middletown. I know Rush County has always had the Rushville location, and just up the road from there in Morristown, that tiny little hamlet, they had one. So you had these little communities that also had BMVs as well. And now, yeah, you're down to the county seats, if that.
Yeah. I do a lot of the stuff online. I do most of my stuff online, but every once in a while, if you're going to get a new driver's license, they got to take your picture.
If you're going to get a driver's license, or you're going to buy a new, a lot of times if you buy a vehicle from out of state, you have to do it. I don't know. Generally, when I buy something new, it's easier just to go in and bring your stuff in, because they end up needing that ID or whatever. It's just it's a hassle. Yeah. It's an enormous hassle.
But yeah, so strange. And it was funny. I mean, like, I don't think I saw one comment on this thing of like the 150 comments. I scrolled through real quick that said anything about it being, one person said that they'd been there. And they said, yeah, I was just at one. There was nobody had a mask on. And they asked about it. And they said, well, you're supposed to wear a mask if you're not vaccinated, but they're not asking, which I can affirm, at least for where I work for the state, that's the case. They're not asking for anybody to prove that they're vaccinated. They're just telling you, if you're not vaccinated, then wear a mask,
please. It's the Walmart rule.
Yeah.
Okay. So I went to the fridge and I got myself a beverage. And this is something that
that's a fancy looking PBR.
This is something I inherited. It's a PBR Pabst Blue Ribbon Hard Coffee. And I don't know
how if did I get in our.
I don't know how I acquired it. I don't know where it came from, and I know I've had two sips of it, and it is going to be the struggle of my life to get the rest of it down.
At least it's a smaller.
It's like a Red Bull kind of can.
Yeah,
it's rough. I would have Zach test it, but that he doesn't do that sort of thing.
No,
COVID.
No. It seems like the wrong time of day for that too. Hard coffee.
It was literally the top thing when I just reached over the top of the fridge and I grabbed it. It was the top, the first thing. I said, okay, I've never had one of these. It's in there. I'm going to try it.
Don't know where that came from. Don't know who brought that in here.
I think it was something that wound up in my fridge after a camping trip or a racing trip or whatever, and it just got dumped in here. It goes they go from pool party, throw in beach party, whatever, gets put in my beer fridge, and then from time to time my beer fridge gets cleaned out and things come over here, and it's just like a down the line thing, and this is like the garbage can of drinks where eventually somebody will drink it if it goes in the fridge here at the studio. It's generally the way things go.
Joe Tompkins is asking what the alcohol content is on it.
He says that he thinks they're 8%. I don't know. Andrew says fatherhood has really aged Dakota. Dakota, I think, is in a nursing home now. I don't know.
Just wait, Andrew. It's coming at you, buddy.
Listen, Andrew, as soon as he got that kid, he became a local news superstar.
Yeah.
Channel 10 over in Terre Haute. Came to his house to interview him. I was a Channel 10 viewer last weekend at Shack-a-Mack. That was the local news.
I forget. I didn't watch TV. My kids did. We got some channels of Whitewater somehow. We couldn't figure out where they were coming from, though.
Had to be Cincinnati, I would imagine.
That's what I thought, but April's like She was getting we got a channel out of Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, I guess they could. Yeah, the university is right there.
Yeah.
It would either be Dayton or Cincinnati, and I would guess Cincinnati is what
she
would get.
She was surprised how many she got. But it's a weird thing where if you ever fire up an antenna, you realize there's a whole bunch of channels you don't know about. Like, Channel 13 has, like, four sub-channels.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them's like, Westerns, and there's, like, Laugh TV and all this other stuff, and they're on the point one, point two, point three. And so you get a bunch of those random. She's like, yeah, a bunch of them are duplicates.
We had Bounce. Which was like,
I've seen that one. Yeah.
Black comedies. That's pretty much
it is. That is an interesting thing to, it's like a weird thing that you don't even know that stuff's going on with a camper. Fire it up, run a channel scan and see what random stuff you're going to find in some.
Nobody
spot.
Has a TV antenna anymore. The only time we ever see it is camping.
Yeah.
That's the,
I have one at my house. Actually, I still run a TV antenna at my house. I'm channel 8 guy. I like Wish TV.
Oh yeah. You can't get that on
YouTube
TV.
You can't get Wish TV on YouTube TV. So in the morning I fire it up and yeah, it's hooked to the, when I had satellite dish, they left all the wiring in place. So I just took the dish down and hooked the antenna to it up on the roof. And then I just.
You still got your old aerial antenna?
Yeah.
Wow. Mine came down a few years ago.
I have a house in the middle between me and everything else. So it doesn't. I had one upstairs. I threw that one up on the roof and it did okay. And like I said, there's coax run to it. And so then I just had to go down to the basement. And I figured out what cables run to what rooms of the house and just hook them into a splitter. And so I have my antenna hooked to like two or three rooms of the house.
Very nice. You've got the old technology working for you again. You can use that to watch the NFL games.
I probably won't, but yeah.
This is the new 17 game schedule. All kinds of changes again this year.
Yeah.
The season starts tonight. I don't know if they've kicked off quite yet or if we're very close as we're recording about 8:15 on Thursday. The Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to play the Dallas Cowboys tonight. If Tampa wins by 10 or more, I'm going to win some money. as always.
One of the betting, my mom asked me, she's like, did we just legalize sports gambling in Indiana? I'm like, no, it's been legal
for like
a while.
It's like 2 years.
And she's like, it's three quarters of the ads on TV. I was like, Jane, NFL season's here.
Yeah.
And a couple of new players that come into town with the gambling. MGM. Does MGM have a new app?
Yep. MGM's around. Sportsbook. There's Unibet, FanDuel, DraftKings.
And one of them had a deal where for every X number of 1,000 people that...
Barstool, of course.
Bet on tonight's game, the spread went up. And so for that app, the spread for tonight, like as of this morning, was like 75 points. So
correct.
Yeah, you can still win your bet.
That was the DraftKings. I got that one. I'm in on that one. It's a guarantee, Zach. If you don't play that one, you're just crazy. So what I was going to say is that the NFL has new rules now, and every single market gets two CBS games and two NBC or two Fox games.
Well, that's nice. What time though?
So you get a 1 o'clock and a 4 o'clock on both networks. That's the
guaranteed 4 o'clock.
Yes,
that's nice.
So you've got in Indianapolis, we will be getting Pittsburgh and Buffalo in the early 1 o'clock CBS window, and the CBS late window, you'll be getting Cleveland and Kansas City.
That Miami New England localization is tiny. It's. Jeremiah's got a map up here, and it looks like looks like a political map because it's red and blue.
Yes.
PTSD, but it's just the two ends. It's like
the New England and the Florida tip. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. And then Alabama, where their quarterback is, their former quarterback is playing for Miami now. So that's why Alabama is colored in. CBS made a decision that they wanted to give the folks in Alabama the chance to watch them. And I don't know if there will be a local blackout or not because of the Colts playing so you may not get that CBS Pittsburgh and Philly game, Pittsburgh and Buffalo game.
It'll be nice just to guarantee people, like, it's kind of stinks when your team's not great and all the games are just 1 o'clockers and you're like, I'm not really blow a hole in the middle of my afternoon.
But yeah, you've got Colts and Seahawks coming as the number two game on Fox early. So you'll have that one, and then Fox late. The whole country gets Green Bay and New Orleans being played in Jacksonville because of the hurricane.
Yeah, they're still kind of messed up down there, and it's not like the Northeast got hit by that storm just about as bad as They didn't get all the wind, but they got the rain.
Yeah, I think New Orleans just is in a bowl, and they cannot function. There's so many people in trouble in Louisiana that staffing a stadium, even if the stadium's fine,
yeah,
the staff is just is decimated. So it's going to be interesting to see how the 17-game schedule works out. Indianapolis has an advantage this year. Our local Colts have 9 home games.
That's
instead
nice.
Of 8. There's an extra one. And the way it worked out is that the extra game is the Colts are going to play the Buccaneers, the Super Bowl champions, in Indy, because the South teams play the South teams. So, and then the AFC is hosting this year. So the number 2 AFC South team from last year was the Indianapolis Colts. The number 2 NFC South team was the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And because it's the AFC team hosting, it'll be played in Indy. I think it's Thanksgiving. It's like the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. So that's your useless fact of the day, because that's why you come here.
Yeah.
All right, Zach. 3 weeks in a row of IndyCar coming. Are you ready? Ready for the season to end? You've attended like, I don't know, the last 3 IndyCar races in a row, I think. Maybe 3 of the last 4.
Yeah, 3 of the last 4, I think. Yeah. So, yeah.
You did Gateway.
Gateway.
Yeah, I guess I was at Nashville. You were at Gateway.
Brickyard was before.
You did Indianapolis. You did Mid-Ohio.
Yeah. So 3 of them since the 4th of July. And
one of the 2 of us has been at every race since 4th of July.
Yeah.
And there's any still, part of you thinking, damn it, I should have gone to Portland?
No, that's too far to go. And, but,
I took another sip.
Yeah.
It's still rough.
Yeah.
It's just sugar. It's pure sugar and I don't drink sugar. This is my problem.
There's this bizarre hope of another one because there's the chance they keep floating the chance. I don't think it'll happen.
We should talk about more COVID again, don't we?
Yeah. The Long Beach Grand Prix is in danger of being canceled
again.
And that they're looking and there's contract. I don't think they don't really want to come back to Indy, but if they're talking about there's a contingency plan, I bet Doug Bowles is busy making sure that he puts just the right amount of effort into IMS being ready, but not too much effort into spending too much money on getting it ready in case they have to come back to finish the season out of Indy. I hope that they run a different track configuration if they have to come back to Indy.
Would you go to that race?
Man, it'd be kind of rough. I have a friend who I haven't been able to hang out with much, and he scheduled a shindig that evening, but like, man, it's hard to turn down a September.
The chance to see the championship race for the IndyCar Series.
And camping. And I would camp. If they had camping, I'd be camping. In September is a great time of year to be camping.
It would be on no notice. It'd be in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. My camper's ready. It's always ready. Generators have gas in them. I was just at the track like 3 weeks ago, it feels like. So, yeah, I would be ready to go. But, yeah, I actually I hope they just get to finish. Long Beach would be a fun place for it to end, and I don't really want to get the rat race of throwing a camper together if I need to. But, yeah, looking forward to Portland. Should be interesting. A couple new guys coming in and see how everybody does. It's going to be tight. It's 2 young guns in the lead. And Alex Palou's luck's got to get better. He's had a horrible string.
So Alex Palou, Pato O'Ward, and Joseph Newgarden are in the top 3. Pato's actually in first place. Palou is second, and Newgarden's like 22 points back. They're the 3 that have the best chance of winning a championship. I know Scott Dixon and Marcus Ericsson are also in there. You got a guy you think is going to do it. It's going to be Pato. You think Joseph's going to come all the way through? Our boy Palou.
For some reason I don't think Pato too much. I think Alex has a pretty good shot, but I think Newgarden's going to be pretty hard to beat. In the first 2 guys haven't run any of these 3 races. No, they didn't do any. They didn't do the whole West Coast swing. Oh no, Pato did it.
I feel like Pato did it as a total rookie. Yeah,
yeah, he did it as a Harding.
Or was he at Sonoma?
Yeah, it might have been Sonoma. They did like a last. He and Harding ran like 2 cars at the end of a season and ran those 2 guys. I think it was Colton was hurt at the time.
It was Colton Herta, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's check this. Stand by.
But they haven't run in a couple of years, and Alex has never
run. Alex Palou has never run any of these tracks, which is incredible. But they've only run Portland twice, right? That's the other part of it, because it was missed by COVID. So if you were a rookie last year, basically COVID caused all of the IndyCar races to get killed on the West Coast last year. We're scrolling. Yeah, Pato O'Ward in 2018 ran Sonoma and finished 9th for Harding Racing.
Okay, so he's not run Portland.
And so he's never been to Portland. He's never been to Laguna. He did run Long Beach for Carlin in 2019. He finished 12th. So he's been to Long Beach.
That, and of the three, that's probably the one you want to be at because there's walls there. I mean, Scott Dixon had like, didn't Marco like flip over the front of Scott Dixon last time they were there? And Dixon just said, I'll just put this in reverse and drive away. And he drove away with like part of the paint missing off the front nose cone of the car.
Do you have much memory at all of Pato O'Ward driving for Carlin?
I have zero.
That just blanked out.
I have zero memory of that.
He made 6 starts in a Carlin car. And sponsorship went away. They missed the Indy 500. He crashed in Indy 500 practice.
Okay, I remember that.
And then he finished 8th at COTA, the one time IndyCar went to COTA. And then he never had another top 10 finish. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He attempted 8 races. He missed the Indy 500, so he had 7 starts for
I remember missing Carlin. The 500. I have no recollection of that being a Carlin car. But then, yeah, that was a mess, though, because Carlin had also prepped the McLaren car that year.
Everybody just remembers Juncos making the Indy 500 and McLaren missing it.
And you
but Pato missed it that year too.
Yeah, because he jacked the car up pretty good. I think they had to go to backup. They had to really strip it down and rebuild it. But.
So speaking of gambling, I have a couple of note items that I noted looking into this Portland weekend. I put $5 on my boy Alex Palou to win Portland. He's never been there before. But I have faith in the guy. He's his odds looked okay. They were +1,300. So $5 pays out like $65-70. So right, that's the way the numbers worked out. Because $10 would pay out $130, and whatever the number is. So half of that plus your $5 coming back. Colton Hurt is absolutely the favorite going into the race at +550. Is weird. I don't know why he's that favorite.
The odds you showed me were kind of odd.
And the
not to be a pun.
But. As I scrolled down through, I saw Oliver Askew, who's making a start for Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing
in a semi
with Felix Sabatis
in a semi full time car
in a car that's run almost every race and finished in the top 10 like 6 races in a row, and it's at +11,000 with Oliver Askew. So. It's not your money.
You couldn't help yourself.
Would you put money on it? Because I looked at it. A $2 bet was going to pay out.
I think you said
if he wins his first race, it's going to pay $220.
Yeah, I think I'd put $2 on it. I wouldn't put much more than that on it.
$2.
He doesn't have great luck.
I know, but
he's fast, but he doesn't have great luck.
That's so
people hit him and he hits people sometimes.
Do you feel like he's jaded already? Is he cross-eyed or star-crossed and it's a waste of money?
No, I don't think it's a waste of money. I think there's a chance, but I don't think it's enough to like throw too much money at. He's a solid guy. He'll put an effort together at some point if somebody gives him more than a couple of races.
All right, we're going to do it right here live on the air. If I can get logged in, if the iDroid can verify my location. Location verified.
Dear leader says you're a slave to your Google Master.
All sports. He was really, if it wasn't his birthday today, I'd really pick on him because he was talking about how you don't love your kids if you take pictures of them with an Android phone.
I just love to mention that sometimes they'll drop the new iPhone. They said they're going to announce what in a couple of weeks or a week or two. And then they'll come out with all these options, all these great things. And like all the Android people will be like, I've had that for 2 years.
$2.50 is going to pay $275 if Oliver Askew wins this race.
Go for it.
If I don't press go on this and Oliver Askew wins the race,
you'll hate yourself.
Am I enjoying wagering on FanDuel Sportsbook? Yeah, if Oliver Askew wins, I'm not answering your damn quiz right now. Done.
Joe's asking about how Jimmy Johnson's done. I think we'll know how Jimmy Johnson's doing next year, a couple races in. He looked good at Indy, the second time they were there. He got pretty racy on some people. He locked the brakes up in a couple turns, going after people, which is a good sign of aggression.
I'm really excited about Jimmy Johnson next year.
And I think
he's going to have potentially some top tens on road courses now that he's gone back.
Yeah.
But I think on the ovals, if he truly runs Gateway or Texas,
I'd love to know how he did at Texas, how he really felt. I think that if he had done just an oval test to begin with, just log some laps at a couple different ovals, then he would have gotten a better feel for the car, I think. But I'm an idiot. I might not know anything. But I wondered if you put the car, the unfamiliar car, in a familiar place, which you end up going to Texas earlier, then he would have gotten a bit of an idea of how it felt better than trying to go to all these. Like, the first place he went to was a road and street course that you can't go test at. You know, he's at St. Pete. So I think next year will be the year. This year is his learning year.
The other really interesting IndyCar news that we think might be happening is one of the, what I would say, the signature oval races on the IndyCar calendar, St. Louis Gateway, has been rumored to have a quote-unquote NASCAR date potentially coming for next year. NASCAR is supposed to be announcing their calendar next week. And it went from a NASCAR event to maybe a NASCAR Cup event would be coming to Gateway for 2022.
With IndyCars?
I don't know.
Doubleheader?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Would it be with IndyCar? Would it be in a pop, you know, would it be just a race there on their own and the hell with IndyCar and it get kicked out, like, you know, lose interest like Kentucky did and things fall apart and a great track goes away?
I hope not, because that's a good event. And I try to get to it every year. I missed one, but which was last year's. So it was last year it was like, was it a doubleheader last year? Mm-hmm. And it was and they were day races. And they don't schedule when you want a day race.
It was a Saturday and a Sunday.
Yeah. I can't pull that off. You know, you lose an hour coming back and ends up just being.
I mean, can you do Iowa? Saturday and Sunday in Iowa?
I couldn't. If they did, if they're going to do a doubleheader at a track like Iowa or a track like St. Louis, then I say run a Friday night, Saturday night. Just because I need to drive home. And Iowa's like, what, 9 hours, 8 or 9 hours?
It's forever away from
me. Yeah. It's a long, boring drive.
And from Boss Hog Studios.
Then you lose an hour coming back because of the time zone change. I mean, that was...
Listen, man, I made it back from Nashville. It was horrible, but I did make it back from Nashville. But yeah, it's much further. It would have to be a Monday vacation day.
Yeah. Funny, even the way you were doing Nashville, if I was going to go, I would have had to have taken a... like 3 days off for a race that was on Sunday. That was the absolute dumbest start time for a race I've ever seen. 5:30 was a 5:30 local, or no, 5:30 Indiana, 4:30 local time. Yeah, how far? It's like
488 miles, 7 hours, 41 minutes,
8 hours
with no camper.
Yeah, no camper. So it's a 9 to 10 hour with a camper potentially, and then
that's a long drive.
Yeah.
You got to cross the Mississippi River, folks. It's far.
Yeah. So, yeah. Make that Saturday night. Make that Saturday night and everything gets light. That's what we do. Go to St. Louis.
I mean, you could just do one. You could just do the Saturday race. Yeah,
crush it, man. And then you could
duck out and skip out on the Sunday race.
I don't know if I could. I'm one of those guys, like, I drove all this way.
Are you a grown-ass man that has self-control, or do you have to just deal with it?
Self-control be, did you drive 9 hours to see one race when there's going to be another race right there?
How mad at yourself would you be if
listening to the race on the way home
was great and the first one was a total snoozer?
Yeah, because you know that if it's a double oval, they're going to save it for the first day and the second day is going to be the aggressive one because they don't have to worry about fixing it for the next day.
Joe Tompkins also notes that the NASCAR Cup cars are flirting around with the idea of replacing the Busch Clash with an LA Coliseum race. Which would be the ultimate short track. It'd be really tiny. Now, historically, NASCAR did open up out in L.A. Before they went to the Daytona 500, they would go out to Riverside, and the season would open. In the early 80s, the NASCAR Cup season opened up in Riverside. So that has historical, back when you were in diapers, Zach, that's what they did.
They keep doing whatever they want to do, but if they keep running 4 hour races that you have to have a press book to understand what's going on, nobody's going to care. Like my poor mom turned on the race and she's like, oh, there's 3 laps to go. She's like, I'll watch the last 3 laps of the race. And just like every other week, it took like 35 minutes to NFL games take less time to finish.
Yeah. NASCAR Cup is,
it's turned into like an absolute, having a race in the Coliseum is funny. Because that sounds like it's just you're entertaining people and you hope that somebody gets
Did you know Joe Weatherly died at Riverside? I didn't remember that.
I remember hearing a whole bunch about Riverside. I'm waiting for, is that track still there?
No. Yeah. No, it's a shopping center.
Too bad, because that would be a great episode of Lost Speedwaves with Dale Earnhardt Jr. on Peacock.
It's a shopping center.
To go back there if there's
I was trying to find the year that they went away just as we were talking. We were
that used to be a hot spot for racing. You listen to any of the guys back in the day and they'll tell you how much they raced at Riverside.
Well, everybody went out to Riverside back in the day. We're going to try one more place, one more spot to look here.
I would hope, though, that if St. Louis did get it would either be separate or they just use it to bolster, because obviously then the track would get a fat TV check. But
1981, they ran January 11th, and Bobby Allison won. The last NASCAR Cup race was run at Riverside in 1987, and then it was replaced by Sonoma Raceway up in Northern California. Sonoma. Sonoma, California. So there you go. That's your racing thought. We got to start doing some final thoughts, Zach. You got some things to talk about. Newcastle Homecoming.
Yeah,
Newcastle. You were class president of the class of 62, so you've got some big announcements.
No, I had nothing. Oh, my class has nothing, and we should, because it's 20 years. But
COVID.
People kind of. I got a boo on Facebook for saying sorry, but like right when we would have maybe started. We couldn't really start planning anything till summer, and then all of a sudden it kind of came around again. And then I know the last time I helped, I was not a class officer. I just got wrangled. As a matter of fact, all the people I think that helped with our class reunion were just classmates. The last time I didn't have any kids, and I had a lot more free time 10 years ago than I do now. But that, and
I got a podcast to help run now.
Yeah. And I forgot, I've never been to a homecoming. I've never been to a homecoming, period. I've never been to a Ball State homecoming.
You were in the band.
I've never been to... We marched somewhere else. It's fall. Saturday, we're in a contest. That's what we did. So I remember never went to a homecoming. And I'm not even sure if they finally changed it. Newcastle, when I was in school, only
You're
did homecoming
You're telling me the Newcastle homecoming band wasn't... The band wasn't at homecoming?
We had better things to do. We did. We were.
I could see why the football team was terrible in that era.
Yeah. Well, we marched it. We were. I can't remember. I think it was like. What is it? It's mid September. If it was mid September, we might have been at district. So we were at an actual sanctioned ISMA contest that you had to go place a rating to get to regional to get to state finals. So if it was mid September, or we were just at a random we might have been at the contest that was at. We always went to Lawrence Central. So yeah, but we also only did. Homecoming when I was in high school every 5 years. Newcastle didn't do homecoming every year. We did every 5 years. So some classes never even did homecoming. If homecoming happened when you were in eighth grade, the next time homecoming happened, you graduated.
College.
Yes. So we only skipped one homecoming because there was only one homecoming while I was in high school. And I tried to go to Ball State's homecoming once as a student. I wrecked my motorcycle on the way up there and never got there. So I'd never been to homecoming. So I'm looking forward to going to a Broad Street cruise. I can make it this weekend. I wasn't in town last weekend, although it rained. Felt bad for him. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing some of the festivities in town.
Very nice. I believe Saturday I'm going to be going out to Charlottesville. They've got their big fish fry just outside of Henry County.
There was a fish fry going on today at the
Dan's. There's a church fish fry. I saw it in the
Down Bundy. I saw people. They had drive through only, but they were
in the newspaper.
It was going to be for Newcastle. It's going to be a Broad Street cruise to tomorrow night. Parade, like 10 or 11 o'clock, look around, there's some posts. And then the thing with the football game, though, I think I might have seen somebody say that the football game, right now they don't know who they're playing because the other team had to, cancel. So I'm not sure who the football team is playing yet, but.
Oh, there's a team in Ohio that doesn't have a coach.
Oh, my gosh. We get back to that, yeah. And they probably got roughed up against, some prep team last night because they're playing every night somehow.
We're going to look here real quick to see if we can find an update on who Newcastle is playing in football. Googling, efforting, searching, looking, calendar dates. This is I haven't looked at this website in 5 years, and they've changed it since then.
Updated.
It's not what it was. Let me go back. Man, it's not, there was a thing that was like John Harrell College or high school football or whatever. And now it just goes to the IHSAA page. So you're going to click on calendar dates. I don't know if you can search by school.
I can't remember where I saw that it was something that had been canceled, but
that's okay. We'll figure if you're interested in the football, you know how to get there. I wanted to give a shout out real quick and final thoughts here to our guy, Kyle Robbins. He was on dirt over the weekend at DuCoin, Illinois. There's two races left in the USAC Silver Crown calendar. And now But he finished eighth. Again, another top 10 finish for Kyle. So fantastic in the Magna Tool Boss Hog Liberty machine. Another big big run. So I think they've got they got two left. I think they're a few more weeks. They go up to Toledo, and then maybe I don't know if they finish up at Eldora, where the final race is.
Oh, probably Eldora usually be final week of the IndyCar race is usually the 24th, 25th is Four Crown, and Four Crown usually is there. They're the grand finale for the Saturday night show.
They're at Eldora September 25th, and then their final race will be up October 10th at Toledo Speedway. So there you go. With that, we're gonna let you guys run. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.